Sorry. Just thought I'd get that out of the way so you don't have to have that pain for me to tell you anything else that's lame as that. But so good to to have you here. Let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. It's just so exciting to see what the Lord is doing. And you heard, me give the great testimony of what the Lord did for my awesome ride. Well, the man that sold me that awesome ride, him and his wonderful family are here. And it's just great to have you, Sean. Thank you so much. And, so he can attribute to my story and tell you that it is all true. And I'll give you $20 after service. So anyways, God bless you. I want to talk about something this morning and just take us a few minutes, if I can get your attention. This is something the Lord told us for the church for this year. For the last couple years, he has told us to see farther, go farther, move the stakes, and expect. And so we've been doing that. We've been upping everything. We've been doing as much as we can. And actually, I'm going to say that where we've been lacking, we've kind of got on ourselves and said we have to do more. So we've been giving more. We've been doing more. And God is pouring out more. And now he's told us to seize the moment. So that's what this message is entitled, Seize the Moment. And so I wanted to just talk for a couple minutes, if I could, about this. So let me start out with this. This is a story. This is a young soldier and a commanding officer that got on a train together. Only available seats were across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her grandma. They engaged in pleasant conversation. The soldier and the young lady kept looking at each other. There was obviously an attraction there. It was mutual. And the train went into a tunnel and the car became pitch black. Immediately, two sounds were heard, the smack of a kiss and the slap of a cheek. The grandmother thought, I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad he gave him the slap he deserved. The commanding officer thought, I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl, but it's a shame she missed his face and hit me instead. The young girl thought, I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it. They came out of the tunnel. The soldier could not wipe the smile off his face because he just seized the opportunity to kiss the pretty girl and slap his commanding officer, and he got away with it. My whole point is we have opportunities that come up to us all the time, and we just let them go by. And so many times, I've heard the Lord, and I've thought to myself, I'll just do that. I'll work on that, or, yeah, God, I hear you. And I just put it off. Anybody else, a procrastinator sometimes? Yeah, we unite tomorrow, don't we? That's why, we just put things off. We hear something, and instead of grabbing that moment or doing that, we went to Disney World one time. It was years ago. My youngest son, Sam, was little. And we were at Disney World, and they had this water that shot up out of the ground, and did funny things, really, because you're Disney World. So it's not like, dad with the garden hose. This is like really cool. It's doing like several things. And Sam goes, I want to play in it. I would have never, when I was growing up as a kid, I don't know if I would have been allowed to play in it or not. Of course, my mom let me play in the mosquito truck that gave off the mist. Anybody, they come down the street and they're blowing mist. Mom's like, go out and play. That would explain a lot, wouldn't it? Just saying. But I don't know that she would have let me. But, I looked at Kim. And Kim said, yeah, let's let him. Because, we're only going to be here, for a couple days. And he wants to play in that. So this is what we told him. Was honest with my kids. You're going to get wet. And you know how your underwear feels? If you're going to walk around with that, you're going to be, And he's like, I don't care. Now, his older brother was like, I ain't doing that. I think Mal did it. I think Mal got in it. But Sam did. And Sam's like, I don't care. And, we were in Florida, and I bet you inside an hour, the kid was dry. But he had the time of his life. We just, and it felt good. It was just clean fun, no pun intended. But just to let him do it, have fun. Seize that opportunity. Sometimes I think we just stop because we're afraid. We try to think ahead too much on what our natural reasoning would be. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know. Is God wanting me to have this opportunity? I don't know. And we'll weigh that out till the opportunity passes. And God might have been, I just need you to act right now. You see, the reason is because the world is taking us to our ears. We hear a lot of things, but sometimes we don't hear the things that we need to hear. And we need to be listening for that voice, the one that trumps all the other noises. I did youth for years, and we did an exercise, I guess, so to speak, where I had one person blindfolded, and they had everything they needed to make no-bake cookies. Of course, I had one student, "Where's the oven?" "Jimmy, these are no-bake cookies." "Where are we going to put them in?" "Jimmy?" But anyways, and so they had one person from the team, and I put them on the other team's side, and I had somebody else, one person. You could only hear the one person give them instructions on what to do. The other people that were on the opposing team are supposed to be yelling whatever they want to yell to tell them, no, don't do that. So the one person saying, to your right, grab the, and the other people are going, no, don't grab it. And so they had to make these cookies. You might not want to eat them when you were done. But the lesson was, could you hear the person that was giving you instruction amidst all the other noise? And some of them were like, it was really hard, but I had to listen and kind of block all those out. That's kind of what we have to do, and this world is kind of crazy, isn't it? Especially now. It's an election year. We got to do that, got to do that, blah, 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 blah. Look at the word. Find out the truth. And that's the way I would vote. I would listen to God in his word. Whatever you're going through, whatever mountain is in front of you, some of us are just, and many of us, I guess, could be overwhelmed by schedules, commitments, problems, priorities, distractions, obstacles. We want things to get done. We like that completion. We like to, my wife's a list taker. She likes to check things off the list. I like that. I mean, you know, because it's kind of cool. I'm not really the list taker like her, but I like to see the list all taken care of. We want, by nature, I think we want to succeed. Everybody likes, I want to know that I did well or I finished the race. Sometimes our viewpoint may be different, and we speak it out accordingly, I guess. Some are optimistic, some are negative. There are people that are look at the glass half full, others will look at it half empty. You're being chased by a bear, you could say, hey, you better outrun the bear. No, I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you. So depending on your outlook, people speak words, good or bad, we all do it. The Bible says they record those. I wouldn't like to hear my recording. Because where you're at right now is because that's what you've spoken. That's what's coming out of your mouth. Look what's going on all around us. If you have Facebook, Marketplace, or wherever, there's all kinds of phrases out in the world today. And some of them you'll recognize. Just do it. Satisfy your thirst. Satisfy your hunger. Enjoy the ride. Feed your craving. Bong! That's a Toxic Bell commercial. But Paul's philosophy is a pretty simple one. He is the original. I mean, I think Paul was the original Mr. Miyagi. Oh, always look high. Wax on, wax off. Paint a fence, side to side. He was focused. So he puts these cookies on a shelf. We all can get to them. If you have your Bible, look at Philippians 3, 7 through 16. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I already have attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I may lay hold of that which is Christ Jesus, also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching towards those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have the mind that if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. So let us be of the same mind. So that's a lot to read and then kind of go, oh. So I'm just going to break that really down, if that helps you, because it helps me. I like things pretty simple. I like to know direct, and let's cut to the chase. Let's quit going around the barn. Let's, you know, if you want to dance, let's dance. That's the kind of thing. So three ways to live a more fulfilling life. And here's the first one. Here's your first thought for this morning. Find your purpose. If I was to ask everybody in this room, what's your purpose in life? That's kind of a heavy question. Why can't you ask me what my favorite color is? What's my favorite food? Not my favorite purpose. What do you feel you were created to do or become? What do you love to do? What do you want to do? I don't think we'd all have the same answer. You know, you might say, well, I want to be a good wife, or I want to be a good husband, be a good mother or father, a good teacher, a mechanic, a doctor, a salesperson, nurse, firefighter, whatever that is. I want to be good. If you're an athlete, I want to be the best at this. If you're a student, I want to shine in everything I put my hand to. They're great answers, but really, if we're honest, they're not really the answer. They're kind of secondary. The primary purpose for God's creation, the reason for existing, God wants you to fulfill that purpose. He wants you to be successful. The purpose it was made for, or you were made for, I'm going to get to that. But it's just about God. It's about worshiping and fellowshipping with Him. Let's check this out. What's the primary purpose of an ink pen? If you have an expensive ink pen, some of them are out there. What's the purpose of the pen is to what? Write. It looks nice, and it clicks nice, but if it doesn't write, it's just as my grandson would say, it's decoration. You can't do anything with it. It's just decoration. It's a failure as a pen. It isn't fulfilling the purpose it was created for. It really doesn't have a use to me. So if I have to sign a paycheck or, you know, whatever that is, what if the pen doesn't work? You will go past the $15 pen, grab the 39-cent Bic. If it works, hallelujah, you're going to sign that check. Because looks aren't everything, are they? You see, that's what we, in the world today, we judge everything by what it looks like. But it's not the whistle that pulls the train. The whistle just makes noise. There's got to be something in the engine. Something past the looks. There's people that you've met and they look good. But that's just, you ever go into a house and there's full of paneling? Now, if you have paneling in your house, this is not geared at you. But back in the day, paneling was really hot. And you know why? Because it could hide a multitude of sin on your wall. Your kids could have painted, drew, you could have, you know, whatever, put paneling up. We bought a house one time, took paneling down, there was a door and a window there. Okay, we don't know where it ever went to, but it was hidden behind the paneling. So looks aren't everything. You have to learn how to, God, what are you telling me? How do I seize the moment? I mean, if you're a salesperson or whatever, you know, let the Lord prompt you. You know how to help somebody, how to not be too pushy. Don't you? You know what I'm saying? But how to just be who you're supposed to be. How to be the help that they need. If you're not a salesperson and you're just a person that wants to encourage someone, how much do you, what is too much? If you're a person that loves to greet people, not everybody wants hugged. Some people aren't huggers. Come here, come here. That can make everybody like awkward if they're not a hugger. I went down for prayer one time, and this is when I was a kid. Well, not really a kid, but younger. I had a bunch of people praying for me. I just wanted to do whatever they said so they would stop and I could get out of there. You don't want that. You want it. Lord, what is the purpose? You know what the purpose, what TLC is supposed to be, what we're, is to equip you. That's our purpose. So you can leave this place and go, I can do that. I can help some other people. I can encourage them. I can help make, maybe God would use me to help their life be better. But you have to seize the moment. Kim and I were out at a restaurant yesterday. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago. 2 days ago. And so we were paying for our meal. And I mean, the Lord just told me right now, see the people in front of you? Buy their food. Buy their lunch. Okay. So I just called the waitress over and said, I want their ticket. She's like, okay. And I remember the guy saying, I need my bill. And she said, it's all been taken care of. And he said, who did that? She wouldn't tell him, but he must have looked around his shoulder because I was signing this. You know, I was given the thing to. So anyway, they came over and said, we just want to thank you. And I said, you just thank God, because I felt the Lord told me to buy your dinner. And we just had a 3-4 minute talk with them. Very nice. They went on their way. We went on their way. What's your purpose? My purpose wasn't to say, look at me. My purpose is to say, seize the moment. If I would have waited longer than that, I missed that. But we are learning to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because guess what God's true riches are? People. That's what he loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He died for people, you and me. God made you for a purpose. And then we find that out. We were created to worship him. That's our creation. Our creator wants us to worship him. So we worship him with our gifts, our talents, what we do. He gave each of us. We don't all have the same gifts. There's some people that are gifted at detail, gifted, and they can paint. You know, you want people that can know how to do detail to paint that can paint, right? You don't want somebody that goes, oh, I can paint, just because they say they can paint. We have watched them with a roller, and there's a light switch. Just paint right over top of that. And you're like, what? Paint's dripping off the switch. Looks great. No, it doesn't. So we're going to have to repaint that. Repaint, repaint, thin no more. That's another joke, but I won't go into it. Anyways, we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. Paul says in 10 and 11 of the things we just read, it was to be like Jesus. That's the reason. How can I be more like him? You guys are the light of the gospel in a world that's going dark. That's why we gave out those wristbands that glow in the dark. There might be a few left. There's not a whole lot. They're free. If you want one, they're out there. Just get one. Here's our second thought. Forget your past. So we're going to find our purpose. Forget our past. I don't know about you, but is there anybody in here besides me who's made bad choices? You got to forget those. Forget the bad. Take every thought captive. Don't dwell on the bad. Forget the good. Now, before you go like, what do you mean? Listen to me real quick. If I had the song and I would have thought about it, I put it in here and I forgot to tell Ron I was going to play Bruce Springsteen's Just a Clip It of Glory Days. Ron's probably back there. No, Justin's back there, so we're good. Justin's like, I'm not going to find that. I didn't give him any time. But what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with remembering the good, but there are people that you know and I know that all they do is live in the good old days. So the good old days kind of become their past, but what if God has better days than those? I mean, what if we could give him more glory in what we are living now because we got a little smarter? We've been walking this a little longer. We've learned how to say no to the enemy a little better. Instead of just remembering back then, there's nothing wrong. I mean, Kim and I have had some great days in the past. And I don't want to forget those, but I want better days in the future. You understand what I'm saying? I'll never forget my children being born. I'll never forget those days when I taught them how to ride a bike and taught them, you know, all those kind of fun things that we do. Those are good memories. I don't want to forget those. The times I've had, those are wonderful. But I want to keep things in balance and perspective. I don't want to just live the same old day over and over like God can't do anything now. My friends, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Balance. But know this, good or bad, it won't secure a good future. You can't live in the past. You just remember all that. It won't secure a good future. Aren't you glad that God never consults your past to determine your future? Isn't that awesome? Because my past, I wasn't always a preacher. And even being a preacher, I still put my pants on like you, one leg at a time. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you're, you know, I don't have a halo. My son said that Mallory did, but I don't think she did. Here's our third thought for this morning. Face the present. It's easy to live in the past, and it's easy to dream away the future. The challenge is embracing today. How do we seize today? I want you to look ahead, yes. But what if God is telling you to do something today? The enemy will tell you to put it off. A lot of us have this mentality. One of these days I'm going to do something about maybe my, you know, if you have a temper, I'm going to control that one of these days. I'm going to do this with my, I'm going to take a day and go away with my family. I'm going to do something about my health. I'm finally going to lose weight. I'm finally going to, you know, save some money. How many wish you would have put $10 a week in some savings account since you were like, had a job at 16 when your mom and dad probably told you to and you're like, eh. Wouldn't that be great now? Remember the story of Lazarus in John 11. Martha came to Jesus and said, if you'd only been here. If you'd just been here. If you remember the story, Jesus waited. He waited days when he found out. He didn't hurry. 4 days passed. Because when he was told, he was just sick. She says in the past, if you'd only been here. Jesus said, he'll rise again. Martha said, I know in the resurrection of the last day, future. I know. In the future, yeah, I get it. She knew Jesus had power in the past, and she knew he'd have power in the future. We're like Martha. We struggle with the present. It's easy for us to believe somebody else. Hey, will you pray for me? Okay, I'll pray for you. Sometimes it's hard to see it for ourselves. To get our answer ourselves, it's easier almost to believe for somebody, but it's all the mentality of what the enemy has shoved at us is he'll do it for you, but he won't do it for me. That's what we think. Or he'll do it for PB, Pastor Ray. You know what? He's no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. The word makes no, I'm sorry. Because that's, see, we've been drilled that God is sovereign, and he is sovereign as the definition. But you have authority in your own life to make choices. You don't make the choices. You tie God's hands. You know how heaven comes to earth? When God's people do God's will. You know how the enemy? When his people do his will. Now you know why people are the true riches. We're like Martha. We're not sure about what he can do now. It sounds good. It's kind of a pipe dream. I mean, I've dreamed about it. I've heard about it. But God, I just don't know. He did things in our past. I can believe him for the future, but how do I get through this? I'm staring at this mountain, and it's not going away. These bills are yelling at me. I'm needing it today. Today's a mess. How many of your circumstances sometimes scream louder than your faith? John 11, 26, whoever lives and believes in me, this is Jesus talking, shall never die. Do you believe this? Let's be like Martha. Everybody say, yes, Lord. 1, 2, 3. Yes, Lord. When we say that to the statement, we're not saying just yesterday and just tomorrow, but we're saying today. Jesus, I believe you're with me today. You'll never leave me or forsake me. I believe. So here's the moment we've been waiting for. So we need to seize it. I believe, Lord. I believe. You can help me today. Remember the kid on the Polar Express? He got that little bell. And he couldn't hear it, and he was standing outside. I know this is a goofy example, but I believe. Dingy, 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 dingy. I have that bell in my office. I should have brought it out. We have to believe. The word is God. That's what the Bible says. And we're waiting on God to manifest in some way that we think of. What if God says, I got this. Just trust me. Let my word work. Put that word in you. Because like, remember last week I said, toothpaste, you squeeze it, what comes out? Toothpaste. You get the word in you, when pressure comes on, what comes out? The word. I believe. How many believe with me that he is the bright and morning star? How many believe he's the lily of the valley, the small voice on the mountaintop, the restorer of the breach, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Prince of peace? He's my healer, my shepherd, my deliverer, my redeemer, my savior. He still heals the sick. He raises the dead. He still casts out demons. Demons shudder at the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? He's the same. Seize the moment. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe. Facing the present means we put our faith in Jesus today. We trust him to be involved in every part of our lives today, our past, our present, and our future. We must embrace today and live for him now. Because once today is gone, it's gone. I got an illustration. See this rope? You know, you're like, no, I don't see that rope. Jesus, touch him till their eyes pop out. Okay. This rope, let's believe that this rope goes on forever. Okay? Just goes on forever. And this is our timeline, your lifeline. And the world is going to keep trying to make us look to our past. We keep looking back. And it's hard to go forward when we're always looking back. That's why the rearview mirror is small and your windshield is big. So we keep looking back. It's hard to drive correctly. It's hard to do all that. And the enemy, if you keep looking back, he's gonna get you stuck. You're gonna get depressed. Much of what I do now, what I'm thinking about Jesus and my future. So when I make decisions now, because I'm understanding more. And I, you know, my wife can see a difference in me, and I'm glad of that. But now I'm thinking more of what I'm doing, the choices I make. Because what happens with the choices, they either bring regret or reward, don't they? The choices that we make. So let me just play this out a little further. If I had $1,000, somebody just gave me $1,000, and see at the, let's say that this, see this little red part? This is our lifeline here on earth. All right? So I make choices to decide, because what happens when our life comes to an end, we meet Jesus. And the choices that we make will either be reward or regret. And the world will get us to make all the wrong choices. Sometimes you can't feed your hunger, can you? Sometimes your hunger, no good. Not good to feed some of that. So you have to make choices that will bring reward. If I had $1,000 and I came to the end of my life and Jesus said, okay, what would I do with $1,000? I could buy a lot of stuff with $1,000. I could buy a lot of Rocky paraphernalia. That means just stuff, right? Yeah, because that sounds like it's bad. Sorry. But so I could buy a lot of stuff. I could buy, you know, because I love Rocky's, like my favorite movie and that kind of stuff. You know, John Wayne's my favorite Western cowboy. And so, I mean, you know, or there's things that I like, the Starship Enterprise from the original Star Trek. You know, that kind of stuff. You're like, okay, what's that have to do with anything? Really nothing. Except that, I mean, I could spend that money and be like, ah. But what if God said, I want you to take that money and I want you to give it to so-and-so. Help the poor. They need help on their mortgage. But I'm like, no, but God. And I had to face Jesus that day. Would I have regret or would I have reward? We all have regrets, don't we? I mean, when you get to this part of your life, are you going to go, I regret the car I drove, the house I lived in, all of these things? I mean, think of all the things that maybe we would have regret. But what's crazy is so many of us are looking at this is all our life and this is the rest. Millions and millions of years of eternity, because everybody in here lives forever. Smoking or non-smoking, you get to pick. And some of us are so psyched out on this. Oh, if I do this right here and I save, I'll get to this. And I just want to live as comfortable as I can in this life. Did you know? I told you the blessing of the Lord bringing my, but I went for 2 months without a vehicle. That wasn't comfortable. But it's okay. Because I want to follow the choices that he gave me, the ones that bring reward. I didn't do it for the reward. But that's just what happens when you follow God. He blesses you. He blesses the work of your hands. See, we get all psyched up about, I want to do this. And sometimes people will say, and Kim and I have had this happen. I had one guy ask me one time, he said something about church and, you know, missions or whatever. And at that point, we were given, we were given like $350 or more a month to missions. That was like, back in the day, it was a car payment. And he said, you're stupid. That's stupid to give that kind of money. Because how's that going to help you when you get here? And this is what I would say to him today. No, you're stupid. Because what's going to happen when you get to here? Because we don't look at things like that. We look at God, it's not mine, it's yours. And so because it's yours, I'm just the steward over that. So we can look at our fine little life in this. The Bible says we're here for a vapor. I mean, it's just short. And then the rest. Millions and millions of years of the rest. And we only think about this. How about you? What if I... Lord, I just want to change some things. That doesn't mean you have to live poor and all that. I'm just saying you just have to be obedient. That's it. God provides for all your needs according to, thank the Lord, it's not my riches, it's his. In my Father's house, that's what's great about God. He never runs, he's not even in an economic slump. Well, this is what this is right now. To get a home, this is what the rates went up to. I know what the rates are. God doesn't say, I'll provide for you only if the rates are at 3. He doesn't do that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, you know what? I'm so glad I went to 7,000 movies. I love theater popcorn. I mean, really, who doesn't? That stuff on it is probably not real butter, is it? But boy, it's good. I mean, put some cubes on that, you probably drink that. No, you probably wouldn't. But anyway, what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong. Go to a movie. I'm not saying don't do any of that. I'm saying balance. What's important in life? We have this much, each of us. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. We don't know. And we don't know what day we go to meet him. We don't know. We're not guaranteed that. The only thing we're guaranteed is if we give our heart to him. That's the guarantee. And he already died for that. So if we live today and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? It might be just simple, just like the elderly couple that we bought the meal for. That's awesome. We were glad to do it. And I love my partner in life because I said, I feel like I need to buy their dinner. She's like, awesome. She's not Brett, because back in the day, that's what I would, are you sure? I mean, because I knew we were trying to put two ends together just to make them meet, you know what I'm saying? And this is what she said. I told you that story. She said, we need to give this lady a large tip. I tipped that waitress 2 days ago for us. But I said, well, you know, she told me the amount. And I was like, honey, we came here on a gift card. And this is what she said to me. If we can't give when we don't have anything, we won't give when we do. And that just like, you know why? We didn't even share this. I mean, we weren't really walking that. If I can pick it up. But that's what she was doing. It's not ours. We have this time to make a difference. What do we do? How do we do? Because then comes the eternity. What do? We got to make this time count, y'all. We got to make this time. God, what do you want me to do in this scope? How do I impact my kids? I'm telling you, with my kids, this is what I've thought. I don't want them just to see, like, okay, Dad went this way. Dear Lord, I want to blaze a trail so they could follow it if they were blind. That's what I want. I want them to see their mom and me love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. I want them to see how we depend on them for everything. You got to seize that moment. We called our kids in when we didn't have money and said, we need, you know, we're believing God. We have to have $450. And the kids were small. And we were out there. There's nobody to call. We're just out there. So we said, we're believing God will do this. I mean, their kids are just like, okay, Daddy. We'll pray for you. I mean, really, all your kids care about, they have Pop-Tarts and Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? As long as there's food, they're like, yay. And my mother-in-law, she always made sure of that because we'd never tell her. You have any food? Oh, yeah, we got food. We did. Ramen noodles, popcorn. You know, we're living like college kids. But she'd go to the grandkids. Do you have any Pop-Tarts? Do you have any cereal?
No, Grandma, we don't have any.
Grandma would send us home 3 or 4 bags of groceries, and we just, you know, we counted it a blessing from God because God used Grandma. But we got our kids down. We prayed for that. I had to go to church that night, and the kids were sick. And I just, you know, it was like being bombarded. Every toilet in our house was being used, and the kids were in there yelling at it. Hey there, how you doing? And you're just like, dear Lord. And you don't, you know, you got to have this money. You're like, Lord, I don't know. And we made sure we always gave to God first. We followed the laws of the kingdom. And we didn't even know half of what we know now. And I went to go out the door. We prayed. I went to go out the door. And there was that envelope taped to the door. It said, to the man of God. I to this day, I have no idea who did it. $500 was in that envelope. Take out my tithe. What's left? $450. I brought my kids in. You should have seen their eyes. I fanned that thing like I was a poker player. Look at that. Sam was like, can I hold it? You can hold it. God did that. Let their minds wrap around God. Let them say, wow, Daddy and Mommy serve God. I hope today that if anything, that illustration shows you what we have prioritized. Where are you on that rope? If you had to face Jesus right now, would you have regret or would you have reward? I challenge you today, seize the moment. Seize the moment. What's God telling you to do? He's told us different things. Sometimes it's usually with our pocketbooks, and that's usually where my hands were like real tight. And I have to just let it go. Say, okay. Okay. Because when we get to the end, that's what you got. I'm going to come down front and I'm going to finish this up. In 2020, most of you know, there's guests here that maybe don't. I remember being at our house here in town. This stuff was, I was feeling funny, and I was going to tell Kim. We talked, but she was telling me about something, and she gets to preach next week, by the way. PK's preaching, Pastor Kim's preaching. You don't want to miss that. That'd be awesome. But anyway, but she was so passionate about what she was telling me. I don't remember what she was telling me. I just like to watch her. And so, you know, I just, you know. And so I didn't say anything, and I was cleaning up the yard, and so I took some stuff to be dumped at whatever that thing is out on Barks Road. Something felt wrong. And I was heading back home, and I got to that light across from Smith Clinic, and I couldn't hardly drive. And I called her, and I told her, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go to the ER because I think I can make that. I don't know if I can make it home. And she's like, what's happening? I said, I don't know. And I drove to the ER from that point, and I remember calling 911. They said, where are you? I said, I'm in your parking lot. And they ran out and got me. And when she got there, they said, your husband's having a heart attack. And she said, the Lord just took over for her. I'm going to tell you why. Because in that lifeline, in this, she had a little idea of destiny. She had a little idea of authority. Now, I'm just telling you, me, everywhere I go, my kids say, you meet somebody. Somebody knows you. We were in an airport at Florida, and we were sitting there waiting to get on a plane. Some guy walks by and goes, PB! And kids go, of course. We're at Disney World. Pastor Brad! I'm like, hey, how you doing? It happens all the time. I'm in the ER. They're, you know, they do all what they do. You're in an embarrassing situation because they're just going to do whatever they got to do. And the girl goes, Pastor Brad. I'm just like, oh, Lord. How are you? But anyways, in my mind, I feel all this pressure. And then they put me in another room. They let her come back. And I grabbed her and I brought her close to me. And she told me, she goes, you were checking out. Because I told her, I said, you tell my family. You tell the kids that daddy loves them. I love you. And she was like, oh, no. So that little Mr. Miyagi, she just starts, you will not die. And she starts proclaiming the gospel. Now think about seizing the moment. Is there another moment she had? That's not happening again. She's changing the course of what the enemy wanted to do. They have me all wired up. And some dude is sitting there. And I remember I was looking at her. And I had tears running out my eyes. And I had her hand. And she was just going to tell the devil what for. And that's what she was doing. And this guy goes, are you guys seeing this? So whatever I was hooked up to, all of the things started changing. And they came over and they're looking at that. And this is what he said to her. Lady, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. And she just kept it up. I spent 3 days in ICU. Today, I take a baby aspirin. That's the only medication I'm on. And God has done that. Why? Because God uses people. He might use you to help somebody. To be that blessing. To be that person that sees the moment. To be that person that says, that's it. Maybe that person can't defend themselves and you're the one that says, we're done here. What's God calling you to do? Live your life on purpose. Seize that moment. I don't want to live my life in regret. I want to live it looking forward to the reward. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, with every head